My subject title today is out of Ezekiel, and it's chapter 37. And it's amazing that this particular title has been, I've been resonated all week. Monday at CLC class down at John 3:16, we discussed the facts about how we bring more people to God and how we go out and interact with individuals and all the different things and bring people to who are lost. You know, when we talk about Ezekiel and the thing is, it's in a valley of the dry bones, so you have a conscience of what I'm talking about. When we go out and talk to people, some of those are not knowledgeable, even though they're Christians or religious or whatever they may be. They're not totally knowledgeable how to be saved, how to come from where they are at to go to a better place. And that's, we talked about that Monday. Yesterday at a meeting at, also at John 6:15, for the chaplains, we talked about the same thing. About how to go out and meet people and change them. And then to, as I was preparing for this study today, it came to my attention that this was the same title that I've been talking about all that I was studying to give you a talk on. It was called The Valley of the Dry Bones. And let me give you a little background on Ezekiel. Ezekiel was almost getting to his 30s, right? He was at his 30s, he used to go to the synagogue or to the worship place and become a priest. But because the Babylonians and the other individuals that was involved had invaded Israel and northern and southern Israel and taken them into captivity, Ezekiel didn't become a priest. But God never lost track of what Ezekiel's purpose was. He still gave him a purpose, and he gave him a purpose in a number of different visions. One of the early visions was that he saw a whirlwind come down from heaven, from the sky. Okay, we call it from heaven. But it hovered over Jerusalem. And out of this whirlwind, there came this cheer with an individual in it. And he said he looked, and as the vision became clearer, he noticed that the person in the cheer was God. And as the whirlwind raised up, it removed God from the temple. And he said, oh, my goodness, God is leaving the temple. So, you know, and the reason why God would leave the temple, because the second part of the vision was everyone in the temple was worshiping out of different idols. They had lost track of the purpose that the promise and the permission that God had given them to worship only him alone. They had decided to go and follow the teachings of other individuals and worship God as the way they wanted them to. And so that's how it started off. And so through this course of the book of Ezekiel, he came up with a number of different scenarios, a number of different visions. The one I'm going to concentrate on today is Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. And it comes from chapter 1 to chapter 14. Well, we'll go through the first couple of verses, and then we'll discuss a little more, okay? So let me read that for you. Is everybody there? Say amen. Okay. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them and saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, oh, sovereign God, Lord, only you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones. He said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make breath and enter to you, and you will come to life. I will attach tenderness to you and make flesh come upon you and move and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord God. It's amazing that when Pastor was talking about the same subject earlier when he was giving the prayer, And talking about the different Psalms, he was talking about how God is always dependable, how God is always saying, you know, we think that God leaves us. We think that God leaves us But God never leaves us. We leave him. And I'm gonna use my own life as an example. And years ago, when I was coming through life before things changed, I always felt that my situation was all on me. Man, was I doing a great job of living? I mean, I had the best of jobs and the best of life, and man, I was just up and down, partying, good time. And then things happened. I forgot to thank God for the things that was going on. I took for granted that I was so good that it was all on me. I didn't have to ask nobody else permission to do stuff until one day it wasn't doing any stuff anymore. And so that's why we look at the situation and we ask ourselves, why is it that we get what they did in the temple when God left? It's the same thing we do every day in life. We build idols. We build idols of jobs. We build idols of homes. We build idols of cars, of possessions. You know, we think that our own mind becomes the biggest idol of all. You know, we assume that we don't need help to do anything. So then we step away from God. We step away from the reality that the only reason we're still here is because God allowed us to be. If we think that we are in control. At least I did. You know, I was like, yeah, I don't need a bad time. I ain't taking nothing. What? I'm not taking no instructions. I'm the guy giving the instructions. I'm making this all by myself. You know, like I said, I had some excellent jobs and some excellent positions, and it was all on me. I mean, I didn't ask nobody to help me. You know, I learned how to do this stuff all by myself. And then I realized the biggest thing I forgot to learn was to be grateful and appreciative. And we think about how we build idols in our lives, how these idols prevent us from going out and doing what God asks us to do. He tells us to go out and make disciples, to go to these valleys of these dry bones. They're still here. This just wasn't there in Ezekiel day. They're still here today. As Christians, we're supposed to be going out and prophesying to these bones, to these individuals who are lost, to these individuals who still struggle with their faith, and teach them that their God is always available, just like Sister Johnson spoke on the song, Anna and I. Your God is always there, the defender. He's always here. The things that we need most are supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't make these things happen. We're not the ones who allow things to be. We're just part of the train. The engine's still rolling, whether we jump on or jump off. And sometimes we forget to jump back on the train, and we lose track of where we're supposed to be. But God tells us, and just as he told Ezekiel, he said, prophesy. That's our job, to prophesy. Not to idolize, but how big cars we got, how nice homes with swimming pools. And I don't have one of those, but anyway, I thought about it. It would be nice. How nice homes with swimming pools and things like that. But we just to go out and preach the word of God, to tell people how good God has done me. That's all I can tell about. I can only tell you what he's done for me, how he's treated me, how he brought me from, and be honest with you, he brought me from a mighty low spot. You know what I'm saying? Before I came here to New Jordan in 2002, I just got to Tulsa from a not nice place. It was at a nice place sometime, well, I don't know. It wasn't a nice place. And when I came here, you know, Pastor Forney and Pastor Roland and deacons and everybody else was still here. And I met my wife Juanita here. And that was the change. That was the taste that changed my whole perspective of reality. Because I was still under the perception that I had to do all this by myself. Sister Carol and her husband Michael, and little Johnson, she was a little bit else up there. But they all, Sister Charles, they all contribute to my growth. they made me aware of the things that I hadn't seen, because I was so blinded by the things that I thought I was aware of. I didn't know that most of the stuff that we were doing, that I was doing, was false. It had no what they call it, girth. You guys in Oklahoma say girth, or whatever, the horses, I don't know. It had no body to it. We go with that. Okay, but the thing is, we have to understand that God gives a body. He gives us, and it says here, he says, let me go right back to this. He says, I will put breath in you, you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You know, that's Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the Lord has given him this information, and he had told him, he said, but then as Ezekiel went on, he said, so I prophesied and they came and I commanded. And I was prophesizing, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. It looked like tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. We take people and we go out once or twice and we prophesy or we preach to people and we tell them, oh, how good God is. Oh, look at how wonderful he's making. But we don't go back. And we don't add what's needed, the additional information that's going to help them be that much better of a person, become their total individual. We leave sometimes, not all the time, but a lot of the times. I know I do it. We leave people half done, you know, like a cake or whatever you cook, you know, you half done, you stick the toothpick in it, you pull all the cake out. He said, wait a minute, well, I taste it, it's almost done. You know, for me, that's good enough, especially when brownies, you know, you pull them. Anyway. But you leave people half done and you don't complete the job and put the icing on top to keep them where they can go and go out and themselves and teach people. We leave people without the proper tools, the proper situation. And I'm using me, so don't want to misunderstand this. I'm using me as an example, as the one who done this. I'm not here to judge or tell you what you didn't or did not do, because I don't know. I'm struggling with the things I need to do for myself as far as my Christianity goes. And so when I go down to the John 3:16 with Pastor Virgil here and other people, and we talk to people and we interact with people, we try to give them a complete story. We say, don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on what God has for you, because he always has a plan. He always has God did not leave us. Let me clarify that. When we fall off because of our sin, because of our arrogance, because of the way we live and the way we do things. We don't fall off because of God said, oh, I'm done with you, partner. You know, you need to get on down the road. That's not how it happens. Because he didn't do that to the Israelites. And the reason, let me explain a little more information about his work. The Israelites had been in captivity of the Babylonians, and I believe it was Nebuchadnezzar. That's how you pronounce it, but as close as I can get to it. Yeah, so anyway, he was the king, and Egypt was still reasserting themselves. They wanted to come back and take control. But the Babylonians and Egypt wasn't that the same idea. So the reason why God had told Ezekiel to let the Israelites realize that he hadn't forsaken them. He said, yes, you're in captivity, but you're in captivity because of reasons of your own. You failed to follow the reasons, the laws that I gave you. You failed to understand that I didn't tell you to go out and worship other idols. I told you there's only one God, and that was me. And I'm jealous. And you out here kicking it like, you know, everyday rule. Like, this is what the thing to do. But that's not how it works. So I'm going to give you this punishment, but I haven't forsaken you. I will return you to your land as promised, the promised land that I promised you. But first of all, you have to do and repent. We have to let our people know that there's a process. to reinstate ourselves in God's grace. As the praise team was singing about grace and mercy, and the pastor spoke on grace, grace and mercy what allows us to not get those knots when we make those mistakes. Grace and mercy what allows us to go past some of the things that we deserve to receive. And that's what we're supposed to understand. That's what Ezekiel was trying to explain to the Israelites. But the Israelites, it was still under the impression that they were doing the right thing. Because they had been doing it so long that they thought, well, maybe this is the right thing because I've gotten used to this. I've practiced this and this is how I'm used to having it. Just like we do. We say we're going to come used to doing the stuff we do. You know, maybe not all the time in sin, but the little sin here and there, and we don't let it slide, you know, and then it builds up to a little bigger sin, and we don't let that slide. And then next thing you know, you got a whole train of sin coming behind you that you're trying to figure out what happened. But see, if you had stopped, as Pastor mentioned earlier, if you had stopped and asked for forgiveness of the sin that you started off with, the train wouldn't have had a chance to develop. But because you didn't stop to pay attention and you didn't allow yourself to be aware, that train just got longer and longer and longer. And the longer that train got, the farther away from God you became. You became like these dry bones. He said, I'm going to preach to you like these dry bones, and these dry bones is us. We are the dry bones. The dry bones was the soldiers of Israel. So you know. That it fell in the battles of war. But God felt forgiveness, and he had put Ezekiel there to preach and prophesy so they may become life and living again. But also he gives us that same opportunity. When we fall, we don't just have to lay down and give up. We can get up, and we can ask forgiveness, and we can continue grow. But we let ourselves that self-conscious with that guilt that he won't forgive me. I done something so terrible that I can't be forgiven. That's not true. There's nothing that he can't forgive, you can't be forgiven for, except as I was taught in the Catholic school, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I think that was the only sin. You know, I was brought up Catholic, and when I went through life thinking that I was good, and then when I fell off, the priests and all the different people that I was taught to trust and believe in, they didn't come through and tell me that things would change. They said, yeah, well, you made a mistake. That's life. And basically, that's how I ended up going through the changes that I went through in life. And then I ended up coming here to New York, like I said, in 2002. And I was part of that dry bone syndrome, that unforgiving error of knowing that I was done something so supposedly so terrible, it was hard for me to realize that I could be forgiven. And I'm, like I said, and the people that I interacted with at that time showed me a different way. And I've been here, 21, 22, 20, whatever. I used to be good at math, and I lost track. But anyway, but I've been here ever since 2002. So y'all figure that out. That 21, 22, whatever amount of years, off and on. We all get slip and forget that we living under the grace of God, and we slip off, and we get our big head again, and we have to come back and start anew. But that's the way life is. You never stop giving yourself a second chance. You never stop giving the person that you're trying to minister to, your family, your friends, your loved ones. Don't give up on them. I went to Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. My home is here with Sister Juanita. We live in Tulsa now. But I go back to visit where I was living before I came here. So I got a younger brother and sister up there. I went to visit them a couple of weeks ago. And it wasn't very, very good. They have issues that no matter what I say or do, as the older sibling, doesn't make a difference to them because they're grown too. But at least I keep trying each and every year and every day. once a week or so, I still call. I still ride them, and we don't want to hear what you got to say. You ain't all of that, so on and so forth. Well, no, I'm not. But I'm still tell you what I think and what the difference is between what I'm doing and what you're doing. And I'm hoping that God's going to change your heart. But until he does, I'm still riding the soul. I'm still singing the same old sad song or the same old glorious song or whatever it is to let you know that I still love you. But sometimes we forget. We have to continue to do that with our family. We have to continue to do that with our friends. I met a bunch of guys and fellas I used to hang out with when I went home this last time. It was my first time running that many people that I've known. I mean, it was amazing. We were at a park, in the park. And we were all kind of people in the park. I mean, I had a park full of people. And not one person raised their voice. Not one confrontation. It was amazing. I was like, I'm standing by the tree, and I'm like, I'm waiting. Something's going to happen. I'm going to be the first one up out of here because I'm trying to go back to Oklahoma. I ain't trying to hang out in Milwaukee. So I stood by the tree waiting on something to happen, and nothing ever did. And I'm like, wow. When I got back to the hotel, I'm like, did nothing happen? All those people, all those different personalities that we grew up together, I guess everybody has matured or grown or whatever the case may be, that nothing ever took place. And in the end, he said, I looked in the tenderness of flesh, and then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it that this is what the sovereign God says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe unto these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered into them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We were cut off, therefore prophesied and said to them, this is what the sovereign God said. O my people, I am going to open male graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Do you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. You will know that I am the Lord has spoken, and I've done it, and I've done it as declared the Lord. He said, I'm going to forgive you, as he said to us daily. I'm going to return you back to what I promised you. God promised us salvation. When Jesus Christ was born, he said the salvation, God sent his son to die for us for salvation. And that salvation is ours. All we have to do is accept it. You know, there's no way you have to earn it. There's nothing that you have to, that you can do more than just accept and say, I appreciate what God has given to. But we think we have to go out and battle for it and dig graves and whatever else we got to do. That's not true. He said, go out and prophesy to the people. That's the only job he gave us. Win souls. Tell somebody else what you have. Tell someone else how good it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. And if we do that, then we're good. And of course, stay out of sin. But he tells us here, he says, this is in 2 Timothy, he said 3:16. It says, all scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good works. We need to know that the scriptures, Ezekiel, Matthew, Revelations, they're all to equip us in order to go out and do God's work. Our only purpose is to do God's work. We're here on earth, on this planet, in the call of the devil's domain. But we here as Christians do God's work. We're supposed to live, we're in this place, but we're supposed to be above this place. We're supposed to live beyond where we're at. Our job never quits. You know, we stop, think that stop oh, 8 to 8, we're done. Okay, it's time to go home and watch TV and lay down. But every opportunity you get, you're supposed to preach the word of God. Sometimes I used to catch the bus, and what he used to drop me at the bus, because it was hard for me to breathe in the hot sun. We used to drop me at the bus, I used to catch the bus downtown, and I try to talk to the people on the bus, and man, I got some, woo. Man, I got some issues in there, dealing with people on the buses. Now, one guy told me he didn't know who I was talking to, and if I didn't stop talking, he was, and I forgot. Now, wait a minute, hold up. I don't know, I must have forgot who I was or something that threatening me. That wasn't working for me, you know what I'm saying? But then I got up and moved up to the front so the bus driver could take care of his job to see myself safe. But it's amazing. Even then, when I got downtown to the bus hub or bus station or whatever it's called, I hung around there because I was waiting on the bus to go to John 316. I hung around for, 15, 20. I couldn't hang around too long because it got real drastic down there. But I hung around a few minutes and I got to talk to certain people. And it's amazing that people you can just mention stuff to and tell them that there's help for them and things like that. They can come down where I was and come get some help. And just like turkey days and things like that, they come down and get turkeys. But people need to know this, that they're God provides for them each and every day. You know, not only the word, but also in the spiritual and in the physical sense. God gives you everything that you need, and all you have to do is share it with individuals that are there. He don't ask you to take anything out of your pocket. Sometimes you might, but that's up to the Spirit to tell you. But then most of the time, it's just the Spirit of the Lord that you offer to individuals. Not your financial things, because you may not have it. But he never gives you anything that he doesn't supply you need things for. So if he gave you something to do for financially, then he gave you money and the finances to handle it. If he told you that you need to go and take care of something, then he gave you ways of getting that. You know, I used to come to New Jersey on some days on the bus, right to 129. You know, because I was upset that nobody was on time. I said, they ain't here on time. So I caught the bus. So I used to catch the bus and I walk up and then I get a complaint. Well, you know, you just ought to have been there and I had to come out and so on and so forth. But then I learned to be more patient. You know what I'm saying? I said, that's a long walk. It was hot. You know? So I stopped complaining as much and started waiting. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay, well, I'll be late like everybody else is in the van. And so, but it's amazing that we assume to try to take things on our own instead of waiting on God. We don't have to do anything on our own. Everything that we do is done by the grace and mercy of the Lord. In Jeremiah, one more scripture. Jeremiah 31:30, he said, instead of everyone would die for their own sins, whosoever eats sour grapes, their own teeth will be set off on edge. So you have to understand that the things that you come put in your mouth and take out, those are things that you can control. The things that you tell people, you know, when you speak to someone, you speak to someone in the Spirit of the Lord. You're not speaking to people out of your own spirit, because sometimes we can say things out of our own. I know a number of times I've said things out of my own being that may not have said well with other people, and that I apologize. But sometimes you have to realize that God gives you the right thing to say at the right time. All you have to do is pay attention. Just like this sermon today. Like I said, when I first thought about it, I thought about the past. I said, well, let me go back and redo the sermons I've done. I know those. So let me go back and do the ones I've done, the two or three I've done before. But when I went back to start looking through them, and then, like I said, Monday, we were talking about going out and greeting people and bringing people in and bringing people. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not what I was talking about. It was something else. That's what I'm still doing what I want to do, because I know these here. I wrote these down. And then he turned around on yesterday, and we had the same situation. And I'm like, there must be something in this that he wants us to bring out about winning souls and going to individuals and learning how to do with people the way they're supposed to be treated. We have to bring ourselves to a level. We're not all up here. No matter how much education and how well you live and how high on the hog you say you ride, you still have to bring yourself to the level of the individual that you're talking to. Because not everybody's living in that same category that you're living in. Not everybody's going the same way you're going. You have to put yourself in that situation, and you have to be able to talk the language of the individual that's there. You got to come to them at their level so they can understand what you're saying and what you're talking about. And sometimes even a simple-minded individual, people sometimes forget. There's other people that's less simple-minded than we are. And we have to make sure we deal with them in accordingly to the word. He said, I think it was in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon the people up in the upper room, and Peter prophesied in all the different languages and all the different things. Everyone spoke to in the same understanding of what they understood from their own self. And as the Holy Spirit said at the time, he said, gave each individual their own individual ability. None of us all are the same. We each have our own individual skill, our own individual ability. And we should take that ability and that skill and use that to glorify the name of God, to make this world a better place. We look at the word, the history of the way the world is. History repeats itself. Babylon took over Israel. We're in the world of war now. Russia and all the different places, all the different things. People, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and fighting against each other. We're in that type of situation right now. It's a repeat of history. Until the people of God, that's why when he talked to Ezekiel, the different terms he talked to Ezekiel, he said, man of God. Are you a man or say person of God? Are you a person of God that you can go out and do the things that God has for you to do? Or are you a person of the world that you constantly have to go through confusion and constantly going through different things that happen to you, your personality, your personal life? He said, man of God, person of God, preach the word, prophesy to the people, tell people how good I am. Tell people what they have available to them. You have to understand that if we don't tell the people how they're going to learn. He said, give each one of us preachers, teachers, evangelists, pastors, each one have ability to preach the word in their own way, in their own position. Teachers who actually probably meet more people than anybody, administrators. We have to learn to reach out to people when you live where you live. I come out when I go to different places. Juanita always talking about, you always talking to me. Like, well, how you going to know? You got to talk to people in order to figure out if they may need something or the way you tell them how good God is. You know, people say, well, some people don't want to hear that. Well, that ain't my problem. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to push anything on you, but I'm going to tell you what the word of God is. And if you don't want to hear it, then you don't have to listen. Just keep on stepping. But the thing is, if you are interested in doing a life better than what you're doing now, then you need to hear what God has to say. Because my best idea got me to visit Oklahoma for untold amount of years. For untold amount of years, and I thought I had the best idea in the world. Found out it wasn't. You guys had actually cars down here. I thought you were throwing horses and bus boys and stagecoaches and stuff, but you actually got vehicles. So I didn't get away. So I was like, man, what happened here? They got vehicles and phones. What's this about? So I thought I was going to ride through here and ride out. But I didn't. I'm still here. 30-some years later. My best idea. That was what it was. So now my best idea is wait on the Lord. Let him teach me. And as I become more mature, as I was telling Pastor Forney earlier, he's asked me, well, why don't you want to go up on stage? Because when I was in Wisconsin, I tripped down the stairs. And then I tripped down the stairs and tripped in the room, the hotel room. And I was tripping all over. I was like, wait a minute. I went down to eat lunch, and I was tripped in the lunch room. I said, wait a minute. So I spent most, some might think that's funny. It's not. It wasn't funny when it happened. I mean, I spent most of my visiting time in the hotel room laying down from tripping. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, what's going on here? So I stopped trying to visit. So I told everybody, you got to come to the hotel. Today, I don't want to go outside. It's concrete. Then at least in here, they got carpet. So I said, I stayed in the hotel a lot. But and then he said, well, don't you want to go? And I can't. You know, what if I go up there and tripped up the stairs or tripped down the stairs? Then I'd be looking just as crazy as I did before. And that wasn't going to happen. So I stayed down on the solid ground, which I know I'm capable of dealing with. I have a prayer that I saw on the one of my friends sent to me, and I want to read this, and then I'll be done, I guess. He says, "Prayer is a sin killer, a sick healer, a powerful giver, a victory gainer, a blessing promoter." And he says, "Keep on praying. You have the power within." That's what you need to recognize. Prayer does anything and everything you want it to do. You just have to realize that prayer works. In all the circumstances that you think you need, prayer allows you to do this. And I wanna close in prayer so I can kill some sin, gain some power, whatever. But dear Lord, I want to come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for giving me the insight in Ezekiel and how we fail ourselves and fell away from Christ. We ask that you continue to keep us aware of the things that we have to do to stay within the reach of God, that he always has his hands protecting upon us. We ask that you bless our families, keep our relationships here at New Joy, keep those all protected. Allow us to be the best person that we are. We ask all of this in your son's name. One more. We'd like to thank you. Give us safe travel as we return home on this Sunday day. And give us blessing throughout this week. We ask this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Bedford. Yeah, will you get some encouraging? Amen. Great challenges in the midst of that message. If you would, just allow me to do a little recapping. You know I like to do a little recap. I won't keep us long. Deacon Drain is going to come up and lead us in our worship and giving in just a moment. But this scripture, as he was standing there and proclaiming and preaching, it's pointing to us some critical stuff. Sometimes you and I get dry. Amen. We run into dry folks. Amen. He was saying through this scripture in Ezekiel 37 that the solution to your dryness is the Word of God. For the Word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you take God's Word and you begin to prophesy, speak, so that prophesy means you've got to open up your mouth and talk and declare. But you're declaring the word of God, right? So we've been so blessed. He quoted that scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16, 17. All scripture is God-breathed, right? All scripture is God-breathed. So we've been blessed then, given the word of God. If prophesying is speaking the word of God, when you turn around then and declare what God has spoken, you're starting to prophesy. Amen. You're speaking it over your life. You're speaking it over your situation. Sometimes you got to prophesy to your dry self. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you got to prophesy. I didn't say talk to yourself with your own thoughts. Remember, prophesy is to speak the word of God over yourself. Amen? Come on, y'all. Because it is the solution to dryness. If you're fighting depression and it's not due to a chemical imbalance, You need to prophesy over yourself. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. I'm repeating. Love, joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Long-suffering, gentleness. Self-control. Correction. That's the one we added. Stop. What'd you say? I did not count to see if we had nine. She going with, did we get to nine yet? She said, did we get to nine yet? Faithfulness. Yeah, yeah. And did you hear joy pop up in that fruit? The joy of the Lord is my strength. That means that when I am weak, right, that's when I am what? Strong. Because what? His grace is sufficient for me. I'm prophesying over myself because I'm dry. I'm in a funk. It's okay to say that, right? It's too late. Will you get your grandmother? But yeah, so I'm in that condition, and because I know, I can begin to address my condition, right? And I know that it's the word of God that makes a difference as I start speaking, proclaiming out loud. Sometimes I may be in an environment where I can't do it. Oh, but you know what? I can start moving my lips. Amen. Amen. It can start percolating in my heart. And when it's percolating in my heart, what am I doing? I'm meditating upon his word. And as I'm meditating upon his word, because it is alive and active, he's doing a work in me. But he doesn't stop there. He says the word of God. That was the first thing he said. Prophesy to these dry bones. Speak the word of God to these dry bones. And so Ezekiel starts to prophesy just as he was commanded over the dry bones. You remember what happens, the dry bones, what? They reassemble, they come together. He said, I want you to know, he's teaching us that it's not word alone. We've been talking about this. It's not word alone, is it? He says that his spirit is at work in us and around us to do for us more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. And he says that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, who is on the outside of the world. So whatever is going on around you doesn't compare to the power that is within you. Well, you're going to make me preach. And so he says the word and then his spirit that he has given to us will make a difference. He said he's given us his spirit, which is like streams of living water on the inside of us. They refresh us. Ooh. They refresh us. She say, why are you messing with me? I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. So the streams do two things, right? They refresh us. But you know that streams also provide some cleansing. The purifying work of the Spirit of God helps cleanse us from all that stuff and does not allow it to be clogged up. And it prevents that train buildup. I like the way you hooked up that train. Did he hook up that train? He got slowing down because you now carrying more cargo than you need to carry. And then you're going to get off track. You get derailed. Boy, you worked that thing. So he said the Spirit of God comes in us, cleanses us, and refreshes us. And what was dry is now made alive again because of the very presence of God. Amen. We've all seen it. This dry grass in the middle of a hot summer and you get a rain. All of a sudden, what was brown and dry, get a little rain, it turns green. That's what it's like, right? You start to prophesy over your life, prophesy over your situation. The Spirit of God begins to flow in you like its unlimited power does. And all of a sudden you were dry and you've been modified. You've been changed. You've been awakened and you've been made alive, full of joy, full of hope. and remembering that the God who saved you, redeemed you, loved you, that he is with you, and that he will never ever leave you nor forsake you, and that no matter what comes your way, it's nothing compared to the God who is on your side. Amen. Thank you. Amen. 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 So the word of God, the spirit of God, and it really does have to begin with you, because you can't go out telling somebody about the joy of the Lord and your face all poked out. Amen. You can't be telling the folk about a God who will deliver. Right. And then you turn around and say, I think. What? No. You got to talk with confidence. And that's why, you know what, sometimes stuff comes your way, because you need to know that the God that you serve is able to deal with everything that comes your way. And we walk by faith to say, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I know this, that God is with me. And if God is with me, he's more than enough to see me through it. And while I wait on him to deliver, he's giving me a testimony so that when I run into that other dry individual, I can begin to tell them about the goodness of God. And I can begin to testify about how he brought me out, because I'm not ashamed of my testimony, because he has delivered me and he has said, now you go tell somebody else. It's got to start with me. Right? Because if I don't believe it, how am I going to convince you? So he's got to make it rooted in you and me. So we say it with confidence. All you got to do is put your trust in my Jesus. I don't know what idols you've been trusting in. He talked a little bit about that too, didn't he? I don't know where you've been putting your hope and your trust. But I want to tell you that I know the true and living God, who is not an idol, who has eyes and can see, who has ears and can hear, who has a mouth and who can speak to you and to me, who has a hand and he can move on your behalf, and by his finger and his finger alone, he can make a difference. So you can tell somebody about the living God. Bring hope into their lives and into their situations. You're right. That's what we're called to do. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all. And what are you supposed to do? Baptize them. Teach them. Baptize them. Make disciples, right? My last comment, and I'll stop. He gave you two parts. He said evangelism, right? I'm just recapping. He said evangelism is a part of making disciples. Let us not become trapped in the place of making the baby and then leaving them. Right? That's what he said. He said, sometimes we'll go make a baby and we don't even send back child support. You should have. You should have. That's practical. That's language folk understand, right? You make the baby. Right? Because anyone who is in Christ Jesus is what? They're a baby. When you first come into a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, they come in as a baby. They don't come in as full grown adults knowing what the word of God has declared about the truth of God. They come in as babies. He says, so evangelism is that first step at making the baby. Inviting that one to be born again. Right? And he says, so now you got to go get some infant meal and go back and feed the baby. Right? Go get some diapers so you can help change the baby. Get you a burping cloth so that you can rock the baby, because the baby is going to experience some stuff where you who are mature will be able to lead them into a full-blown committed relationship with Jesus Christ, so that they become mature, stable followers of Jesus. Amen. Evangelize and then stay with them. Stay with them. If you don't bring them to this church, make sure they go to some church. Amen. You stay with them. You say, I ain't seen you at church. Where you been going? I do church all by myself. Now that's a lie. You can't do church all by yourself. All right? I mean, that's how you do them, right? You got to get somewhere. You got to get somewhere. You got to get somewhere. That's right. You got to get somewhere. So that's the making of disciples, the making of disciples. Stay with the word. Trust in the spirit. Do your part. And God will certainly do his. Amen.